This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to the special podcast on Markets at D Street Talk, powered by Money Control. Well, today I have with me a very special guest, Somnath Mukherjee, who is a managing partner and head investment advisory and strategy products and international business at Ask Wealth Advisors. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Mukherjee.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mukherjee, just to start with, what a day it has been for markets. In fact, a roller coaster ride, to be more precise. You know, we hit a lower circuit, which was followed by biggest intraday recovery on D Street. What is your take on the markets?
I think the market just giving us interesting times to live in. It's been very, very interesting 2020, you know, so starting from, oil wars to, attack on specific oil installations to, senior representatives of the Iranian government being taken out by the U.S. and now not, last but certainly by no means the least, the COVID-19 point. So, the Chinese have an interesting benediction to give when any newborn they come across, which is may you live in interesting times. So I think 2020 is a year where the world is showing us that we do indeed live in extremely interesting times. But the market's essentially pricing in an uncertainty. And this uncertainty is going to continue till the fundamental issue is not addressed, which is a visibility to what can be done about the virus, which will come from the world of science, technology, biotech. It will not come from the world of finance.
Right.
So the markets are talking about monetary measures, fiscal measures, interventions by central banks, interventions by the government, while they will all help and they will be crucial to mitigate some of the economic impacts of this thing. But fundamentally, the risk appetite or the walls that have shot up to historic high levels, that will get dampened only when we see a certain amount of clarity coming on the final end state of how this can be addressed. So expect the volatility to continue. And that is something, while today was perhaps a little bit of an outlier in terms of the sheer swing that we saw in the market, minus 10%, all the way back up into positive territory. But it certainly wasn't a black swan at all. At best, it was a gray swan. So we knew that it will be volatile. We just didn't know at, what level of swing the market will demonstrate, and expect similar volatility to continue in the next few days and weeks to come.
Right. Well, volatility is likely to continue. And in fact, I take your point that, at this point in time, market is looking for the cure. And what global leaders are suggesting or, they're giving at this point in time is more of a band-aid approach or measures which will not, in fact, lead to a cure for the coronavirus, but it could lead to a cure for the economy in general. And, connected to the volatility, Mr. Mukherjee, the last time when we hit a lower circuit was back in 2008. And, you being in the industry for so long and you've seen a lot of, ups and downs, I'm sure you've seen it very close, when that event was happened. What was going through your mind back in 2008 when financial crisis started? What were your clients, did you get a lot of frequent calls from your clients? And how did you respond? I just wanted to get that. I just want to pick your brain around about that time.
Sure. In fact, 2008 in some ways was very similar, but in some ways was very different as well. In terms of the sheer panic and the sheer level of volatility on display, very similar. I remember in 2008, I used to head one of the desks in a major international bank in Singapore. And for a lot of us, we, for the first time, we really knew what Chapter 11 felt like in a major Chapter 11 scenario. And the fact that international banking has become so interconnected and therefore one relatively mid-sized bank failing, triggering off a contagion across the financial system, so much so that there were questions being asked on the Western democratic way of life itself. So in terms of the sheer level of panic, I think comparable. But in terms of the solutions that that were being offered at that time versus now, I think that is something that we have to look at a little bit more nuanced manner. The problem at that time was financial.
Mm-hmm.
We had interest rates actually at cyclical highs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution to that was also financial. And part of it was there was enough monetary policy ammunition
mm-hmm.
to come into the solution set.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, though, this problem is not essentially a financial problem. The
mm-hmm.
financial problems are an outcome of the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, monetary policy has far less ammunition today, given that world yields, global interest rates are already at fairly low rates.
Low rates.
So to that extent, there is less ammunition left in the kitty, though, you know, with the sovereign, there is always a lot of ammunition, but it's mm-hmm. just much lesser than what it was back in 2008. But more fundamentally, the crux of the solution is very different today.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's too much of market chatter around using some of the tools used in 2008.
Right.
And since 2008, it has been used several times, 2011, 2013, taper tantrum,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
even last year. Whenever there is a hint of a crisis or a hint of a trouble,
mm-hmm.
the same toolbox comes out and let's use it. And a lot of chatter around that happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the solution set is not in the world of monetary policy or fiscal policy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more in fiscal policy domain than monetary policy, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the solution is in the realm of science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, the solutions toolkit is different this time.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the way this will pan out and the way this the end game will be, will, in terms of outcomes, may not be all that different to 2008. But
mm-hmm.
certainly, the path will be very different.
Right. And another thing I want to do, just attach the question which I just asked, you know, how did you deal with your clients back in 2020 as compared to 2008? And one thing which was common back then is that investors, you know, sort of lost faith in equities.
Mm-hmm.
While in 2020, I think mutual funds are still receiving that kind of decent flows, which is a very positive sign.
That's true. In terms of investor behavior, I think since 2008, investors or the new generation of 21st century investors, including millennials,
mm-hmm.
they have gotten inoculated to some extent by the experience of 2008.
Okay.
And therefore, in terms of their behavior, we don't see too much of investor panic yet, a
mm-hmm.
little bit episodically here or there, but nothing at a herd level where investors are looking to get out in a hurry.
Right.
In fact, I think 3 or 4 days back, Vanguard, a very small percentage of total number of active customers of Vanguard actually traded. This was beginning of the week, I think Tuesday.
Okay.
And 70% of them put in buy trades and not sell trades.
Okay.
So to that extent, I think investors around the world, and including in India, are a little bit inoculated from volatility. Many of them try to take this as an opportunity to get in,
right,
and so on. So we don't see any herd panic yet amongst investors. So that is, in many ways, a good thing.
No, absolutely. That's a good and positive sign because, you know, at this point in time, what you're getting is a multi-year low on Nifty and Sensex and many other stocks, especially the blue chip names. Apart from that, another, you know, question I wanted to put it through is that the volatility is similar to what we saw in probably in 2008. But is it really the same? You know, because why we say that a lot of algo systems are in play, which was probably not the case back in the 2008. What are your views on that?
I don't agree. I think algos get a lot of flack for being the harbingers of volatility in the market. There isn't enough data to suggest that they are any more footloose and fancy-free as, say, a hedge fund or any active fund that is taking calls.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference being between an algo and an actively managed, you know, fund is the psychology of the human being in the latter versus cold mathematical model or in the former.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think algos have had a huge amount of role to play. Usually, in terms of if you look at the market behavior,
mm-hmm.
Which is risk-off trade, love for cash, love for safety-first assets like gold and US dollar, all of this have played out many, many times since, you know, time immemorial, I guess, certainly in recent memory, whether it's 2001 during the dot-com crash, or indeed 2008, 2011, 2013 paper tantrum.
Right.
So this is the same playbook. So I don't see how algo trades have done anything different this time from where human beings were behaving, say, in 2008. I don't see that the algos have behaved any differently to how human beings have behaved in the past when faced with similar uncertain situations. The difference between the two is merely that human beings probably panic a little bit quicker than mathematical models.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, moving on to my last question, and I'll not take more of your time, but yes, what is your advice to your clients? I'm sure listeners want to understand what they do at this point in time. Should they stay put, staggered way, complete exit?
No, so certainly this is absolutely the wrong time for complete exit because people who are already invested, they're probably sitting on 15, 18, 20% mark-to-market losses on their positions.
Yes, the peak, absolutely.
Right? So to make an exit right now is no point at all. Unless somebody is already, over-allocated to equities. If that is the case and you've been invested for a significant period of time, say 5-7 years, then maybe a little bit money off the table is okay. But otherwise, for those invested, a complete exit doesn't make any sense. For those who are sitting on the sidelines, and that's a fairly large population, because a very large number of investors through 2019 felt that valuations are rich. And even in the first quarter of this year, a lot of investors said that valuations have been very rich and they were waiting for a correction.
Right.
Now the correction has come. It hasn't come in the orderly way that some of us would have preferred, and guess what, it never does in that fashion.
Absolutely.
But the correction has come. Along with it has come a sense of uncertainty about the future as well. So those who have been sitting in the sidelines, this is the time to start making or dipping their toes in the water. This is not a sell your house and invest the money in the markets kind of situation.
Right.
But it's certainly a situation where if you've been waiting for a very long time, you just, start making your entries slowly. So that's certainly the case, because valuations have certainly come back from what we call 2 sigma to 3 sigma levels to close to average levels. And from a price to book perspective, it's probably the other way around. We are quite cheap because it's 1 sigma below the long-term average price to book wise. Plus, there is a great opportunity on anything that is risk-free, which include sovereign bonds. Long-tenor Indian bonds are probably one of the most attractive asset classes around globally. You look at the Indian G-Sec yields, they've hardened a little bit. So at 6.3%, they represent, 5.5% spread over the U.S. 10-year. So once the dust settles and global interest rates kind of remain in low territory, which we expect it will be for a significant period of time, a lot of yield chasing investment will come into that. And in the meanwhile, there is enough headroom that RBI, that inflation as well as the current account numbers have opened up for RBI to also cut rates. So, long tenor sovereign bonds, again, is something that represents a very good opportunity for investors.
Well, all right. On that note, Mr. Mukherjee, what he's saying essentially is that the valuations are looking pretty attractive. He's suggesting no to complete exits. Yes, you can put in some cash. You can actually take off some cash from the table if in case you've been invested. And if you're over allocated towards equity, then you can definitely take some positions off the table. Well, thank you, Mr. Mukherjee, and listeners for tuning into this edition of D Street Talk. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Thank you, Mr. Mukherjee.
Thank you.